federal judge indefinitely puts a hold on Joe Biden's 100-day ban on deportation. Illinois becomes the first state in the union to ban cash bail. That'll work out well. And the Supreme Court looks at two Pennsylvania election cases and says thanks, but no thanks. What's that all about?
It's all about Alabama, Hollywood, rock and roll, eating good, sports in the deep south, news from the White House, indiscretion, big stupid questions, and all things extracurricular, AM, FM, and online, all top 95, it's a show about every damn thing, and nothing in particular.
You're listening to Richard Dixon
on Birmingham's Real Talk. 99.5.
Oh, you like that? That was top quality entertainment right there. Yeah.
Did you fall off your microphone? Fall off the stand, or what happened?
I was doing some voiceover earlier today, and it was some stuff that I needed the particularly low, just got out of bed voice for, you know. So I did it at like 7:30 this morning, 8 o'clock, and I, when I do voiceover, I have to turn the mic down, way down, because it's very hot on my recording system. And so then you can monkey with it however you want when you get it down to a certain level. So I'd forgotten to turn it back up again, and I noticed, like, during the intro, I was like, oh, that's much too low. My voice should be louder than that. And so when the gang there, when Slamabama, who does my theme, started singing, I got up to walk over and turn the thing up, and I kicked the mic stand on my way out. Oops. Sorry about that. That's top quality entertainment right there, folks. That's how we roll. Sweet. A judge has now indefinitely put a hold on Joe Biden's 100-day ban on deportation. That is a positive thing. Here's what I don't... let me just dive right in with both feet. Hey, it's Richard Dixon. Talk 99.5. Thanks very much for tuning in. There's not a lot of people who are excited about illegal immigration in this country. Now, if you ask them the right question in the right way, a kind of a push-pull style, you know, don't you think that people who are trying to escape hardship in their country should be allowed to stay in the United States until, you know, whatever? You can always figure out a way to phrase like, oh, yes, those poor people, they need to be helped, and it's only right, and da-da-da-da-da. I had a friend once who was of Mexican heritage. His grandparents came to this country legally, but he said, you know, it's all just immigration, Richard. I mean, how is what's going on with these people any different than what happened with your, you know, grandparents or your great-grandparents or, you know, your ancestors who came over here? And I said, it's significantly different. My grandparents came over here from Poland in like 1914. And they did so legally, and they went through Ellis Island. Actually, it was more like 1911. Anyway, they went through Ellis Island, and they did everything they were supposed to do. It's not the same thing. But, you know, the way the media keeps trying to phrase this by calling them things like undocumented residents and, you know, anything they can to try to cover up the fact that these people came into the country illegally. They broke the law the instant that they entered the country without having the proper paperwork to do so and attempt to live here and stay here. There's very few people in this nation.
Is that the ghost?
I don't know what the hell that was. It was a, I think it was a motorcycle cruising by my house. The road outside my house is not incredibly busy, but it's not deserted either. Like, you know, it was at my old house. There was almost nobody driving down my road there. This is a little cut through, and so it ends up with some traffic, and sometimes the traffic is loud. You're hard-pressed to find people who are pro-illegal immigrant because they understand, intuitively, I think, what kind of damage it does to the United States of America. It depresses wages. I've gone through this multiple times, you know. If you've got somebody cleaning hotel rooms for you and you're paying them $12 an hour to do that, I don't know what a hotel maid would make, but you're paying them $12 an hour to do that, and you've got an illegal immigrant who comes in and says, well, you know, you can pay me in cash out of the table and I'll do it for $8. Well, then the people who have been making 12 suddenly have to accept 8. They have to, well, you know, if that's the going rate now, I actually have to now do this job. Maybe not at this place. I just got fired, so they got to hire the illegal immigrant. But now I have to go find another job, and the going rate has become $8. Well, you just lost, 30% of your income right there. That's wage suppression. It is very common. It is very, very much caused by illegal immigrants. And it's, of course, you're talking about the services that are used. Over 50% of illegal immigrant households use some sort of federal aid. Could be something as simple as a cheap school lunch, that you're getting some sort of a federally subsidized school lunch. It could be something as large as Section 8 housing, which I know there are those, it's illegal, that's not supposed to happen. The problem with these federal benefits is that they tend to be administered by states. So while the federal government says, this isn't for illegal immigrants, Oregon says, screw you, we'll give it to whoever we want. We're administering your benefits. So Washington and Oregon and California and other lefty states are more than willing to take your federal tax dollars and hand them out to illegal immigrants. And on top of that, you're also educating them in schools in places where if taxes are being paid by the illegal immigrants, and sometimes they are, but it's not hardly enough to begin to cover the amount of money that is necessary to educate their children. So it's a net loss for America to have a huge illegal immigrant population. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have decided to put their eggs in that basket, not so much because they think that it is going to be a winning election year, in 2022 or 2024, that this is a gambit that is going to help them, win re-election or help Democrats. It's a long game that they are playing. The long game based upon, eventually when these people get here, we'll put them on the path to amnesty. And in 5 years or 6 years or whenever we get through the waiting period that we've set aside, we are then able to put these people on the federal rolls. They can be green card resident aliens, or they can actually attempt to get their citizenship. And when they do, guess who they're going to vote for? You think they're going to vote for Republicans? Well, they might, but it's unlikely. So these guys are looking at this in a long game way, in an effort to hold on to the White House, for the end of all time, and to hold on to, the House and the Senate, which I think they're going to lose in 2022, depending on how screwed up the Republican Party is. Portions of today's show brought to you by Chance Landscaping and so much more. They don't have illegal immigrants working with them. No, they do great work, though, I can tell you. These guys can handle your lawn maintenance. They can make it high and tight and just make it look absolutely fantastic, because they do such a bang-up job on my lawn. And the price is right. I can tell you that right now. They also do projects. I had them clean up my gutters and trim my shrubs, sure. But if you need something built or rebuilt, you need something shored up, you need some fascia boards, some window frames, door frames, you need a set of steps built or rebuilt, you need a fence, they can make all of that stuff happen for you, and the workmanship is just unbelievably great. 205-821-7015, 205-821-7015, Chance Landscaping, and so much more. I trust them with my projects. You should trust them with yours. So, the other thing, of course, that is once again not on the list of concerns for voters in general is the other thing that Joe Biden continues to push, and we spoke at length about it yesterday, so I'm not really going to talk about it too much today, but green energy, the Green New Deal, all of this stuff that when you prod people, and that's what push polling is really, is when you do one of these polls and you ask people, how important is it to you that the United States have clean water and clean air? Oh, it's very important. Oh, voters care about clean water and clean air. Well, of course. What do you think? People are going to say, no, I want it to be filthy. I'd like our air to be polluted and filled with coal dust if possible. I would like my water to be the color of weak tea when it comes out of the tap. Can we arrange that? No one's going to say that. What a stupid question. But when you ask voters to put in order the things that they find important, the things they care about, global climate change comes in about 314th. Illegal immigration is high, But it's more along the lines of things like making sure that we have good jobs for American citizens with decent pay. You know, that's the sort of thing that people are concerned with, getting my kids getting a decent education, crime-free environment. The economy should be thriving and positive. These are the things that, you know, make up the top 10 of what people are interested in when they go into the voting booth. And so you got a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris situation where they're going in there and they're pushing this green energy and they're pushing illegal immigration, and neither one is really a big win with the voters. So we go back to what I talked about yesterday, which was ideas that work versus ideas that don't work. Well, in this case, they're being rescued by a federal judge. A judge is ruling in a Texas case. First, it was a Texas judge. Now it's actually a federal judge who is stepping in and saying, no, no, no. You can't just put a 100-day hold on deportation. Here's the thing. These people came to this country illegally. They've been put in the system. They're being run through the system. They have been deemed guilty of committing said crime, and they are now going to be turned around and sent home. We can't just arbitrarily decide, yeah, but let's not do that now. Let's not send that today. Let's hold on to these people. There's a line behind them a mile long, and there's a process that comes along. So there's very little chance that we can just keep some in holding facilities here. We pretty much have to keep the line moving. And by the way, not doing so would cause immeasurable harm to Texas, which is Texas were the ones that that filed the suit that actually got this thing to happen. Before we go one step further, let's check in with Mary and Verbena. Mary, you're on the Birmingham broker phone line. Oh, Mary's gone. That was enough for her. Mary didn't want to talk anymore. Fine. Be that way. See if I care. We'll get this show up and lumbering on its own weight with a big, stupid question of the day in mere moments. Stick around. See, we're sticking with the one-hit wonders from the 70s, David. Is this leftover from yesterday?
I found a cool 70s playlist, and I'm just kind of sticking with it right now. I mean, I can throw in some stuff if you don't want.
No, I love it.
80s and 90s.
No, I'm a fan. I like this stuff. That's Nick Gilder, Hot Child in the City. He had a hit with that in the 70s, and then in the 90s, he, unable to score again, he re-recorded it in hopes of maybe hitting the charts a second time. It didn't happen. God bless him. Well, what are you going to do? 1216, Talk 99.5, Talk99.5.com. I was just at Sentinel Firearms yesterday, and they've got an okay array of handguns. I know they would like there to be more, but a lot of the problem is as soon as they get them in, they get snatched right up. SHG is looking for something in particular, and I asked about it, and they said, well, when we get one, we'll give you a call, but, you know, no guarantee how long we can hold on to it, because, whoosh, these things, they vanish. Well, they got an AR and they got a shotgun on the wall. The accessories are crazy good. They've got far more in, and they already had a good array of accessories, so now they have even more, and they can apply them onto your firearm if you so desire, since they do gunsmithing. Of course, the lanes are what people really use. That's what they're all about, is people showing up to practice their shooting on their lanes, using their targets and their low-priced ammo. They have plenty of that, too. Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us, 906 North 40th Street. They're 592-3004 on the telephone. They're also the proud sponsor of
the Big Stupid Question of the Day.
Here it is. Ruin a movie title by adding the words, "in my pants," to it.
I know what you did last summer. In my pants.
In my pants. Chocolade in my pants. Oh, that's not right. No, that's... Yeah. 5459950. This could be fun. We could have some fun with this, right? That's the whole ball of wax. That's the point here, is to just not take ourselves too seriously.
Das Boot in my pants.
Das Boot in my pants. Titanic in my pants. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Hit me up on that, if you would, please. And also, you know, I got a lot of little stuff to talk about today. There's not really anything big. And on a day like this, I'm perfectly okay with letting you set sort of the agenda. Do you have something that you want to talk about? Is there something that is has got you chomping at the bit? Is there something that you would like to discuss, something you don't understand that perhaps I can explain, or something that you don't understand that I have no clue about? I'm certainly willing to entertain any and all of those things. One of the other big stories that took place, and I guess I should have mentioned it yesterday, but it wasn't so much on my radar yesterday. The Supreme Court rejecting two Pennsylvania election cases. These were cases that had to do with the Pennsylvania legislature setting election law. And then you had a Supreme Court that came in and altered that, changed it. And you also had a Secretary of State who came in and altered that and changed it. And those two things were technically were unconstitutional and should have been taken up. It takes four justices to get involved in this. Four justices would have to say, yeah, we should take that up. There were three. It was Gorsuch, Alito, and Clarence Thomas. Those were the three. Now, why you couldn't get ACB on board with that, I don't know. Why you couldn't get Brett Kavanaugh on board with that, I have no idea. They might feel like, well, maybe we should stay out of these things since we were, you know, both appointed by Donald Trump, and this election has to do with Donald Trump. But, you know, so was Gorsuch, and he didn't have any such problems. So I don't know. They rejected it without comment, which the Supreme Court can do. I mean, they can just go, yeah, we're not going to look at that. And that is supposed to speak for itself. Clarence Thomas wrote a scathing dissent, stating that, you know, if we're not going to take this up, what's the point of having a Supreme Court? There's speculation that the reasoning behind them not taking it is, well, the point is moot. The election is done. There's no, you know, there's no remedy. There's no way we can fix this. It's a little bit like hearing a case on appeal for a guy who was executed 2 weeks ago. You go, well, he's dead. There's no way we can fix this. So I don't really see any reason to actually take this case. Okay, I get the thought process, but it's not like that at all, in that we actually have another election coming up very shortly in 2022. And it'd be nice if we had, you know, some controlling authority that came in and said, hey, no, you can't just pop up and change the rules that were set by the legislature. Constitutionally, the legislature's the ones who make the rules. So there was that. And we can sit and bitch about it all we want. It's not going to change, okay? That's not going to change. Philip is in Graysville with an answer to the big stupid question of the day on the Birmingham Broker phone line. Greetings, Philip. What have you got for me?
Oh, Popsy rocks.
Indeed it does.
Oh, shoot. I ain't been able to call in a while, and I thought, well, you know, I got to get in on this one. There's a classic World War II movie with Lee Marvin and Mark Hamill about the Big Red One.
In my pants. Very nice.
I had to do it.
The Big Red One in my pants. Go away, Philip. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, man, and I appreciate you being obviously a longtime listener. Anybody who knows the term prophecy rocks, also CLE forever. I'll explain those again one of these days. No point in doing it now. Johnny B. is on a cell phone. What up, Johnny B.?
What up, Richard?
Just putting on a little radio show.
Stupid question. Well, yep. I'd like to answer the big stupid question. Had a few minutes, wanted to call in.
Hit me.
Remember the movie about a big whale, Free Willy?
In my pants. I don't know. You said a movie about a big whale. My first thought was Moby Dick. But, yeah, okay. That works, too. I love it, Johnny B. Thank you for the call. Yikes. Who knew this was going to turn so fast? DJ is in Odenville. DJ, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a good one.
Hit me.
Blood sport.
In my pants.
In my pants.
Thank you, DJ. Appreciate the call. Craig is in Roebuck. Also got an answer to the big stupid question of the day. Craig, you're on the Birmingham Broker phone line. Hit me, man.
Hey, I've got seven brides for seven brothers in my pants.
I don't understand it, but I still like it.
Thank you. Musical, yeah.
That's well, no, right, I love a good musical. Thank you for the call. I don't have that musical, by the way. It's one of the few that I don't have on DVD. I really ought to pick it up. Russ Tamblyn is the only name that I really remember from that. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But I do recall a couple of pretty big songs coming out of it. Bill is on a cell phone. Bill, you're on Talk 99.5. Hit me, man.
Hey, Richard. Well, the guy took my Free Willy one there, but how about Backdraft in My Pants?
You know, we're really getting the 12-year-old out, aren't we? We're getting the 12-year-old out in the listening audience. I love it. Thank you, Bill.
You couldn't have
I don't know what he was going to say there, but I'm glad you cut him off, David. Thank you. I don't want to know. 545-9950-844-455-9950 if you have an answer to the big stupid question. There is something you want to talk about. Like I said, on a day like today, I don't have anything really big. I've got a lot of little stuff. You want to suggest a topic? I'm on board. I can sit and talk about the little stuff all day. Don't get me wrong. Including some Alabama news having to do with this gambling bill. It is now on hold momentarily while Del Marsh tries to cross the T's and dot the I's. This is what happens when you get too specific. I'll get back to that in a moment. Right now, it's First News Time. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5. Stick around. Norman Greenbaum. It's Norman. Hello, it's me, Norman Greenbaum. I've got a friend in Jesus. Sure you do. Virtually everybody named Greenbaum has a friend in Jesus, right? Maybe he meant Jesus, his gardener. I'm just spitballing here. I don't really know.
Was it quit kvetching?
What's with the carrying on about the Jesus and the gardening and the... What's your problem there, young man? I've got a friend in Weber Mortgage. They're good people who can help you with whatever your situation may be. Here's the thing. You simply dial them up, 270-5550, 270-5550. You call Weber Mortgage, 1B, and you say, here's what I'm trying to achieve. I have some high-interest credit cards that, I ran up as a result of being closed down for some portion of last year, and now I'm getting back on my feet, and I'm feeling better about it, but this debt's going to kill me. Is there some way that we can, use some of the equity in my house, refinance, get that done? And they'll figure it out for you. They may ask you a few pointed questions, but really, if you haven't gone through a mortgage checkup in 6 to 8 months, certainly within a couple of years, now would be a good time to take a look at what's going on with your mortgage. And look, here's the thing. It's entirely possible that Weber comes back and says, you know what? You have an absolutely great deal. I wouldn't touch it. I think it'd be crazy to change it. Things are going great. However, given the fact that any amount of time may have passed, it's also incredibly likely that they're going to come forward and say, yeah, listen, we can save you a lot of money. We can save you money on the end of this loan. You can pay less overall. We can lower your interest rate. We can lower your payments. You want to take some money out. You want to use that for something else, some home improvements, whatever. I tell you, these guys have helped me a couple of different times, pulled my ashes out of the fire on more than one occasion, and I love them for it. Weber Mortgage with a B, one B, webermortgage.com, 270-5550, 270-5550, NMLS number 219938, okay. Back to the phones where everybody and their brother wants to get on board. I knew this was going to be a good, big, stupid question because I said it gives everyone a chance to be 12 again, and that's what we're all after, right? Well, the guys anyway. Judy is on 65, hopefully in a car. Judy, you're on Talk 99.5. Yes. What do you got?
Sound of Music.
In My Pants.
Yes, In My Pants.
You got to get the In My Pants in there. You're not really playing the game right.
Come on, Judy. Sound of Music, In My Pants.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. Obviously, you had Taco Bell for lunch. Beautiful, Judy. Thank you. If there's the Sound of Music in your pants. Jerry is on a cell phone. What's up, Jerry? You're on Talk 99.5. Jerry? Hello, Jerry. There is no Jerry.
He's not there right now.
All righty, then. Fine. Let's tack in with Trey. In Center Point. Trey, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Hey, I got an answer. I got Jaws in my pants.
Uh-huh. That's a little scary, actually, having Jaws in your pants. You might need to talk to somebody about that. See a doctor. Thank you, Trey. Love it. Mitch is in Wilsonville. It's just getting silly now, and we've hardly gotten started. Mitch, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
All right, we'll just end this game right here because I got the best one. The series, the whole series, Tremors in my pants. Tremors, Aftershock in my pants. Tremors, Back to Perfection in my pants.
Uh-huh. I like it.
All right, that's all I got for you.
Beautiful. That'll be enough of that. Thank you for the call. Oh, my gosh. So, State Senator Del Marsh wanted to work on the enabling bill for the lottery and gambling bill before there's further action taken. The legislation has been put on hold right now. What he wants to do is work out more details of the bill. I told you that whenever you, first off, when you come forward with something this big and this all-encompassing, the devil is always in the details. For instance, you might like everything about this bill, except you don't like the fact that the money is from the lottery is going to a post-secondary education fund, and we're going to have like a scholarship program. You know, you may say, well, why don't we just put that money in the general fund, or why don't we put 80% of it in the general fund, 20% of it in the education fund, and be done with it? And so you'd vote against it just because you don't like that one aspect of it. I don't like a lot of aspects of it. One of them is that's where the money from the education lottery would go. I really hate these earmarks, and I really hate the post-secondary education scholarship program. You're having to build a whole nother section onto the government and a whole nother, you know, because we're not in the scholarship business in the state of Alabama, but we are going to be if this thing passes and then gets approval by the citizens of Alabama. It leads to grade inflation. It leads, if you study, and we have, right there in our next door neighbor, we have a perfect testing ground. We don't have to try this for a while to see if it works. We can go look at what happened in Georgia, and we can see a couple of things happen. Number one, you had grade inflation in high school. People who should have been getting C's ended up getting B's because teachers didn't want to be the, you know, I'm not going to be the one that keeps him from going to school for free. If he has a B average, he can go. If one C could screw it up for him. And then you get a whole bunch of people who are ill-prepared for college. And so they go to college. They were C students in high school. And let me tell you something. Being an A student in high school, I graduated with a B average, I think 3.33, something like that. It was close, 3.28. I don't remember. Anyway, if you were an A student in high school and you went to college, it's still a big leap because college, high school in no way, shape, or form prepares you for college. It just doesn't. The amount of studying is so much more intense. The fact that you are expected to kind of monitor yourself, there isn't going to be anybody looking over your shoulder all the time. And if you don't do the work, They're looking at it and go, well, you're paying for the education, so screw it. We don't care. We're going to give you an F, all right? Now, that could change, especially if you have this this lottery program that is going to send people to college, whether they should be there or not. But it's a tough row to hoe, making that leap from high school to college, even if you did very well in high school. So people who did poorly in high school are under the gun in a big way. And the other thing you saw in Georgia, some of it was because of this, and some of it was because, look, not everybody is cut out for college. There are some people who really ought to be in technical schools, who really ought to be learning a trade. They should be in the HVAC business. They should be learning how to be a mechanic or a carpenter or, you know, something that works with the hands. It doesn't take a college degree. And because college will be free, I'm putting quotes around free because, you know, nothing is quite as expensive as something that's free. But because college is free, their parents will say, oh, well, no, you should definitely go to college because, you know, I read that you can make more money if you have a college degree. Well, that's only true for some. And so you end up with kids going to college for a year, taking up a spot that might otherwise be used by somebody else, or just taking up space in a classroom without really knowing what's going on. And after a year, they leave. The number of people in Georgia who went to 1 year of college and dropped out is astronomical. And the only way that you can, you know, imagine this being the case is if it's, you look at it from a standpoint of, well, they probably shouldn't have been there to begin with. But because it was free, again with the air quotes, they decided to give it a shot. They took up space. They took up resources at that college. They took up dollars that could have been used elsewhere. They took up time, and they took up their own time, which might have been better used doing something else, like going to an HVAC school or learning how to be an electrician, learning how to be a plumber. These are not easy things. But they might be better suited for such things, and now they're a year further down the road and no further ahead because they wasted a year in college finding out that it really wasn't for them. So I'm not crazy about that aspect of this. The other part of this that I'm not crazy about is, and I heard Cam Smith talking about this with Matt and Val the other day too, and I thought, yeah, you and I are on the same page, buddy. Why do we just automatically go, and we're going to have table games at these racetracks that we already have? How is it possible? Look, competition is a good thing. Why don't you open up these licenses for bidding? Why don't you allow there to be five in each county or five in Jefferson County and five in Montgomery County? And five, you know, the idea that you can have gambling establishments and more than one is not a bad thing. But to just automatically and arbitrarily decide, well, we're going to put one in Shorter, we're going to put one at the Birmingham race course, going to put one down in Mobile at that dog track, or have another one up in, you know, we'll figure something out in Lowndes County, we'll make that work. And then, the Portsmouth Creek Indians, they're going to get involved and they're going to open something at every one of their facilities too. Okay. Why are the people who are already in the business automatically being handed these, for want of a better term, golden tickets? Because unless you're in Atlantic City in the 1990s when everything is going bust, and it did, unless you're in Atlantic City in the 1990s, having a gambling license to run table games is like a license to print money. You may as well just have a printing press in the back, because if you know anything about business, anything about entertainment, you are going to make money hand over fist. Why are we just handing those licenses? We're not handing them. We're making them pay for them. But why are we just deeming that these are the people who are worthy of them and not opening it up to more choices? And again, as I said, having more than one gambling establishment in an area leads to better competition. It leads to things like, well, guess what? We're bringing in the Commodores. Bringing in the Commodores? Oh, I mean, Lionel Richie's no longer with them, and they haven't had a hit in forever, but the Commodores would be kind of cool to see the Commodores, wouldn't it? Yeah, we're going to bring in the Commodores. We have loose slots over here. Oh, yeah? Well, we've got, you know, fill in the blank. you'd suddenly have a lot more entertainment choices and a lot more chance to go out and win if that's something that you're interested in. I don't know. But to just arbitrarily decide we're going to put these things in these places and these places alone, I'm not crazy about it. I hope that's one of the things that Del Marsh is looking at changing. Hey, I got to take a break. We'll come back, take more of your calls, 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Don't go away. It's hard to believe nobody's remade this one. It's it was good. The Stories is the name of that group. Song about race relations in the 70s. It's a big hit, too. 1245 Talk 995, talk995.com. Work trucks is downtown at 2324 3rd Avenue South. We're coming into spring. You may need a new delivery vehicle for your business. Maybe you're bringing another person on. Maybe we're all bouncing back from the COVID, the Rona. Things are beginning to open back up again. Time to hire some more people. More people means more vehicles. Well, don't go out and buy a new one. Go to the top quality Southeast number one pre-owned work truck dealer. That's Work Trucks, with over 100 vehicles on the lot. Every one of them put through a 120-point inspection, all different shapes, sizes, kinds, makes, and models, outfitted the way you want at a price you are going to love. They trade, they'll finance for you, and you can get an extended warranty as well if that's what interests you. Find out more at WorkTrucksWithAnXLLC.com, WorkTrucksWithAnXLLC.com, downtown at 2324 3rd Avenue South, where they are all about trucks. Let's talk to Linnell in Montevallo, the Birmingham Broker phone line. Linnell, you got an answer to the big stupid question of the day?
Yes, the big chill.
In my pants?
Yes. Oh,
Linnell is frigid. That's so sad. Thank you for the call. That was uncalled for, wasn't it? How about KC in Alabaster? Boy, this ought to be good. KC, you're on Talk 99.5. What do you got?
Couple things. First, Linnell sounds like every wife of anybody I've ever known. Two, I love the question. This is, again, one of your better questions. And I like how you've actually asked it over the years, the same question with, like, a little variant, like, you know, add one word or
yeah.
In my pants.
Always trying to have some fun. Just looking to have a little fun, folks.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I've got two. Since I'm a ginger, the first one is where the red fern grows.
In my pants.
All right. Number two is the Django Unchained.
In my pants. Uh-huh. Thank you for the call, KC. I really didn't think it was going to go this bad this quickly.
Well, I mean, we could have had some worse. I mean, the Incredible Hulk in my pants, or the Big Lebowski in my pants.
You say these like they're worse than anything we've heard so far. Seriously, Free Willy in my pants is not. Let's talk to Jerry. Jerry's back. Jerry on a cell phone. Jerry, you're on Talk 995. What's going on?
Oh, hey there, Richard. Jerry here.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I got an answer to the big stupid question there.
Let's hear it, yeah.
Hey, how about Escape from New York in my pants? Or Shawshank Redemption in my pants.
Yeah,
these are prison jolts.
Those are great ones. Yeah, truly, and truly epic.
How about Black Beauty
in my pants?
No, oh, hold on. No, it's supposed to be the big red one, I guess.
That's where he got that. One? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Green Mile in my pants. That could be a prison joke or a diarrhea joke.
Thank you, Jerry. Pleasure as always. There's Jerry contributing. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Couple of COVID stories here. They're not really tied together, but they're, well, they're tied together by UAB. An epidemiologist at the School of Public Health at UAB says probably around May for herd immunity. We've heard April before, but now we're starting to get some consensus that April, May, it's going to be around in there. It's not what Dr. Fauci says that we'll still be wearing three masks next year, 2023. I mean, Fauci the other day, this goon, he's a very sad man. I just don't know. He says, well, you know, even if you've been vaccinated, there are some things you just aren't going to be able to do, like go to gatherings. You still have to social distance. You can't go eat inside. You can't go out to eat inside at restaurants. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Here's the thing. We have now come to the conclusion, and this is fascinating. Researchers have, you know, had plenty of time to actually look at this thing now. It's been over a year. And they're able to say, yeah, there's no sign that COVID is transmitted through food. Think about that. So there are people who are preparing food, and it gets to your table. No sign that that food is, you know, even if it was with a carrier, chances are good it's not being transmitted to you, not through the food anyway. What we don't know is if people who have had the Rona, like myself, like Valerie Vining, are we able to then pick it up from somebody else and carry it to someone, even though we're now immune to it, at least for the next 3 to 6 months? Is there a chance that even though we're not going to get it again, is there a chance that I could accidentally give it to somebody else by carrying it from one person to another? We don't know yet, but we have no signs that that is happening. We have no signs that that is happening. That is to say, if we were to, and this is one of the reasons why you are kind of immune, you get around somebody who has COVID, they cough in your face, guess what? Your antibodies are already there, jumping on that virus and beating it into submission. So essentially, your own immune system kills the virus before you can carry it somewhere else. And here, they're all concerned about that, and I'm thinking, no. This is a sad little man who loves the power. That's all I can figure. So we've got a couple of different epidemiologists now saying April, May, what we're looking at in terms of herd immunity. By the end of January, 1/3 of the population already had the COVID, and another 15% had been vaccinated or has been vaccinated by now. So between that combination and the rate at which we are vaccinating, it is reasonable to believe that by the end of May, we will have herd immunity, and we can probably go back to living life. And by the way, this particular epidemiologist says, well, yeah, but let's be clear here. We're probably going to have to fight this battle every single year. Well, that's fine. We got a vaccine now, right? We'll be able to fight it off. At least I hope so. A research team at the University of Alabama at Birmingham is also looking into the brain fog that comes with the Rona. A couple of things that nobody told me about when I got it. The recovery is a roller coaster. You know, normally you get sick and then, you know, you go through a period where you feel miserable. And then one day you're like, I feel a little bit better. And the next day you go, I feel a little bit better still. And the next day you're like, I feel even better still. And eventually you crawl your way out of the mess that you've been in, right? Not with the Rona. What happens is you feel like crap for a certain amount of time, and then one day you go, I don't feel as much like crap. And the next day you go, I feel even better still. And the next day, you feel like you've been hit by a truck. And you're like, what the hell happened? I thought I was getting better. And then the next day, you feel better. And then the next day, you don't. I mean, it really is a roller coaster ride. It's back and forth. The other thing, and I was just speaking with Valerie Vining about this yesterday. She had this well before I did. Several weeks, anyway. And she said, I'm still fighting this brain fog. A third of recovered COVID patients reported experiencing issues like memory loss, struggling to think clearly, or other altered mental functions. That is very much the case with me. It's a good thing I'm doing 3 hours of radio every day, right? Because I definitely have that issue where it's foggy, and they're looking into it now, and they're thinking, well, some of the established therapy for stroke patients might be the way to work with this. We might be able to get this straightened out if we start using the kind of stroke patient stuff that we had. We'll see what happens with that, and I'll keep you aware of it. News about Tiger Woods, food stories, of course, and more in my pants when we return. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com.